بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن سهل بن سعد رضي الله عنه قال: كانت فينا امرأة، وفي رواية: كانت لنا عجوز تأخذ من أصول السلق فتطرحه في القدر وتكركر حبات من شعير، فإذا صلينا الجمعة وانصرفنا نسلم عليها فتقدمه إلينا. رواه البخاري. The hadith which we began the discussion yesterday, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought that hadith in a chapter which pertains to salam to one's wife or women that are from amongst what we call the maharim. In other words, those that are our mahram, with whom nikah etc. is not permissible. And in the instance of when a woman is the opposite of mahram, that shari'i term normally used for opposite of mahram is what we call ajnabiyah, strange woman. Where there is no fear of fitna, there the shari'at advocates that with this condition, bihadha shart, you will make salam. If a woman is not from amongst your maharim, strange woman, a young woman, obviously there will be imkan and possibility of fitna there. So in that instance, we are required not to make salam, not to engage, not to greet, not to involve ourselves in idle chit-chat, etc. This is, as we inferred upon yesterday, a constant challenge which occurs particularly in the commercial world. You own a shop or you own a business or you are working in some factory. Many instances you find that there are women also in the corporate world. So because of that proximity with them, you are forced to come into contact with them. So in that instance, we have to be very, very careful. Islam on this issue is absolutely clear. The laws of parda are strict, and with that, what was very, very strongly advocated in our Shariat, which unfortunately today has become like an unknown entity, is this concept of haya, shame, modesty. Al-haya la ya'ti illa bi khayr. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, adopting modesty, having shame, there's some boundary or barrier between us and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram. He said, this will bring nothing but goodness. Al-haya'u khayrun kulluhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that every goodness is in haya, in shame, in modesty. إِنَّ مِنْ كَلَامِ النُّبُوَّةِ الْأُولَى إِنَّ مِنْ كَلَامِ النُّبُوَّةِ الْأُولَى. This is an ajeeb hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is of the revealed or the decreed things of the anbiya of the past. In other words, not only my shariat, every shariat, insaniyat demands this. إِنَّ مِنْ كَلَامِ النُّبُوَّةِ الْأُولَى إِذَا فَاتَكَ الْحَيَا فَفَعَلْ مَا شِئْتَ. If you have lost your haya, if you're not able to lower your gaze, if your gaze has become a roving one, if you freely interact, laugh and chirp and chit-chat, etc., with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram upon you, فَفَعَلْ مَا شِئْتَ, then the door to haram has been opened to such an extent that then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do whatever you want. In other words, your behavior between yourself and animals, there will be no difference. So this is a challenge which faces us constantly. And when it comes to this issue of salam also, greeting, engaging, Islam is absolutely clear. When it is ajnabiyah, when it is amongst our maha, when it is someone who is haram upon us, there is absolutely no allowance or tolerance for that. In any case, coming back to this hadith, what happens when it is an elderly woman, there is no fear for fitna, or she is from amongst our maharim, there obviously we will make salam. Sahabi mentions the practice of Sahaba, and in this particular instance he was referring to what we call the Ashabus Suffa. I mentioned this in previous ahadith, and Ashabus Suffa, or what we call the people of the raised platform in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, these were a group which, according to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who was from amongst them also, the numbers used to vary between 80 and 100 at times, and they were extremely poor companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Poverty to such an extent that they would describe it that at times they would cling to the floor because all they had was one piece of cloth, and they feared that if they stood up, their satr would become exposed. That level of poverty. So, referring to that group, he says that there was a woman in Madinah Munawwara. It was her practice that she would cook beetroot in a pot, grind it with barley seeds, and she would present this food after Jummah Salah. So the Sahabi says, فَإِذَا صَلَّيْنَا الْجُمُعَةَ, when we would make our Jummah Salah, when sarafna and leave, then we would go to this woman and we would make salam to her. It's mentioned in the riwayat, كَانَتْ لَنَا عَجُوز. She was, obviously, not their mahram. She was not Sahaba's mahram. But she was very elderly. So because she was elderly, in other words, there is no khawf or no fear of fitna, نُسَلِّمُ عَلَيْهَا, we would make salam to her. So, this is the reason, this particular section of this hadith is why Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has mentioned this hadith in this particular chapter. Then he says that فَتُقَدِّمُهُ إِلَيْنَا, she would present this food to us. From this riwayat we infer the food of the Ashab al-Suffa was very, very simple due to their extreme poverty. Second thing that we can glean from this hadith, it was the noble practice of the Sahaba that generally after Jummah Salah they would eat. They would delay their meal on the day of Jummah till after Jummah Salah. On the day of Jummah, the Salatul Jummah and Hudur in Salatul Jummah, that used to be Muqaddam, that used to take preference. That also, unfortunately, is a very, very important, what we call shiar and symbol of Islam, that gradually has come out of our lives. Coming early for Jummah. Tabkir, the term in Shariat is what we call tabkir, to come early. Come early for Jummah Salah. Have a bath, put itar, there be a certain level of decorum, certain level of accord given to the Jummah Salah. Many instances, in our situation, it's one time in the week that we have a chance to listen to some talk of deen, the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the khutbah of Jummah, etc. Increasing our salawat, increasing our tilawat of Quran, our du'as, the days of Jummah, the day of Jummah du'as are accepted, etc. So all these things we should take cognizance of. So it was the practice of Sahaba Ikram that they would delay their meal on the day of Jummah till after Jummah Salah. وَنُمِهَانِ فَاخِتَ بِنْتِ أَبِي طَالِبٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا قَالَتْ. The narrator of the next hadith is a sahabiya. Her name was فَاخِتَ بِنْتِ أَبِي طَالِبٍ. She was the daughter of Abu Talib. Now who is Abu Talib? Most of us know that was the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who passed away on kufr. But he made great love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So also the father of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Ummihani Fakhita bint Abi Talib was the sister of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Obviously from the Ahl Bayt, from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her father was Abu Talib and mother was Fatima bint Asad. So father and mother, she shared with Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then from that we can infer that she was the paternal cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She accepted Islam on the occasion of the conquest of Makkah. Her husband at that time absconded to Najran. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was his cousin. He held her in extremely high esteem. It is mentioned on the occasion of the conquest of Makkah, he proceeded to her house wherein he drank a sweet syrup drink. That is a little bit of background about her. She passed away in the Khilafat of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and 46 ahadith are narrated by her. As we mentioned, she was from the Ahl Bayt, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held her in very high esteem. Important point, why Imam Nawawi rahimahullah particularly mentioned this hadith in this, what is the relationship with the chapter, is that she was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's cousin. With your cousin, nikah is permissible. So therefore, she will fall into what we call ajnabiya, a strange woman. The laws of parda have to be observed, etc. However, when it comes to the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, certain khususiyat, certain exceptions the Shariat makes with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being the Nabi, is also the spiritual father of the Ummat. An-Nabiyyu awla bil-mu'mineen min anfusihim. Allah Ta'ala says, the Nabi has a greater right over you than your own life. An-Nabiyyu awla bil-mu'mineen min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum. And the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are your mothers. So if the wives are the mothers, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the spiritual father of the Ummat. So in his case, greeting or interacting with women was permissible, because obviously there was no issue of there being fitna, etc. He was masoom, sinless, protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming back to the riwayat, she says, Ataytu an-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yawm al-fath wa huwa yaghtasilu wa Fatima tasturuhu bithawb fasallamtu wa dhakrat al-hadith. It's a lengthy hadith, obviously the section that is pertinent to our discussion. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah mentions just that section. Umm Hani Fakhirah bint Abi Talib narrates that I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the occasion of the conquest of Makkah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taking a bath at that time. Wa huwa yaghtasil. He was bathing himself at that time. Fatima was covering him with a sheet. In other words, he was bathing or bathing behind a sheet. The parda, there was some sort of covering. She says, I made salam to him. And then she mentioned whatever occurred at that time, which obviously Imam Nawawi rahimullah, it being not pertinent to this particular chapter, has not mentioned it. Coming back to what we were discussing, it will be permissible to greet one's maharim. In other words, those upon whom nikah is haram, sisters, mother, paternal and maternal aunts, nieces, etc. However, when it comes to one's cousins, paternal and maternal uncles, wives, sister-in-law, etc., there obviously it will not be permissible. Particularly, we notice in many of our joint family system, which is what we find India, Pakistan, etc., what we have basically inherited. In our joint family system, this issue of brother-in-law and interaction with sister-in-law, there unfortunately in many of our homes we are very, very lenient and negligent in this regard. Ara'ayt al-hamu, it's mentioned in the hadith, Rasulullah was asked specifically about the brother-in-law or sister-in-law. Ara'ayt al-hamu, he said al-hamu al-maut. He said that is maut, in other words it's poison. In other words, if the restriction of parda is lifted, there is very great imkan of fitna. So we have to be careful in that regard. Allah give us tawfiq, subhanallah.